Janie wanted to ask Hezekiah about tea cake, but she was afraid he might misunderstand her and think she was interested. In the first place, he looked too young for her. Must be around 25, and here she was, around 40. Then again, he didn't look like he had too much. Maybe he was hanging around to get in with her and strip her of all that she had. Just as well if she never saw him again. He was probably the kind of man who lived with various women but never married. Fact is, she decided to treat him so cold if he ever did foot the place that he'd be sure not to come hanging around there again. He waited a week exactly to come back for Janie's snub. It was early in the afternoon, and she and Hezekiah were alone. She heard somebody humming like they were feeling for pitch and looked towards the door. Tea Cake stood there, mimicking the tuning of a guitar. He frowned and struggled with the pegs of his imaginary instrument, watching her out of the corner of his eye with that secret joke playing over his face. Finally, she smiled, and he sung Middle C, put his guitar under his arm, and walked on back to where she was. "Evening, folks. Thought y'all might like a little music this evening, so I brought along my box." "Crazy thing," Janie commented, beaming out with light. He acknowledged the compliment with a smile and sat down on a box. "Anybody have a Coca-Cola with me?"
"I just had one," Janie temporized with her conscience.
"It'll have to be done all over again, Miss Starks."
"How come?"
"'Cause it wasn't done right that time." "Kai, bring us two bottles from the bottom of the box."
"How you been making out since I seen your last tea cake?"
"Can't kick, could be worse. Made 4 days this week and got the pay in my pocket."
"We got a rich man round here then, buying passenger trains or battleships this week."
"Which one do you want? It all depends on you."
"Oh, if you's treating me to it, I believe I'll take the passenger train. If it blow up, I'll still be on the land."
"Choose the battleship if that's what you really want. I know where one is right now. Seen one around Key West the other day."
"How you gonna get it?"
"Oh, shucks. Them admirals is always old folks. Can't no old man stop me from getting no ship for you if that's what you want. I'd get that ship out from under him so slick till he'd be walking the water like old Peter before he knowed it."
They played away the evening again. Everybody was surprised at Janie playing checkers, but they liked it. Three or four stood behind her and coached her moves and generally made merry with her in a restrained way. Finally, everybody went home but Tea Cake.
"You can close up, Kai," Janie said. "Think I'll go on home."
Tea Cake fell in beside her and mounted the porch this time. So she offered him a seat, and they made a lot of laughter out of nothing. Near 11 o'clock, she remembered a piece of pound cake she had put away. Tea Cake went out to the lemon tree at the corner of the kitchen and picked some lemons and squeezed them for her. So they had lemonade, too.
"Moon's too pretty for anybody to be sleeping in a way," Tea Cake said after they had washed up the plates and glasses. "Let's us go fishing."
"Fishing? This time of night?"
"Uh-huh. Fishing. I know where the bream is bedding. Seen him when I come round the lake this evening. Where's your fishing poles? Let's go set on the lake."
It was so crazy, digging worms by lamplight and setting out for Lake Sebelia after midnight, that she felt like a child breaking rules. That's what made Janie like it. They caught two or three and got home just before day. Then she had to smuggle Tea Cake out by the back gate, and that made it seem like some great secret she was keeping from the town.
"Miss Janie,"
Hezekiah began sullenly next day,
You wouldn't lie that tea cake to be walking to the house, would you? I'll go with you myself after this if you scared.
What's the matter with tea cake, Kai? Is he a thief or something? I ain't never heard nobody say he stole nothing. Is he bad about toting pistols and knives to hurt people with? They don't say he ever cut nobody or shot nobody neither.
Well, is he got a wife or something like that? Not that it's any of my business.
She held her breath for the answer. No, and nobody wouldn't marry T.K. to starve to death, less than if somebody just like him ain't used to nothing. Of course, he always keeps himself in changing clothes. That long-legged tea cake ain't got doodly squat. He ain't got no business making himself familiar with nobody like you. I said I was going to tell you so you could know.
Oh, that's all right, Hezekiah. Thank you mighty much.
The next night, when she mounted her steps, tea cake was there before her, sitting on the porch in the dark. He had a string of fresh-caught trout for a present.
"I'll clean 'em, you fry 'em, and let's eat," he said, with the assurance of not being refused.
They went out into the kitchen and fixed up the hot fish and corn muffins and ate. Then Tea Cake went to the piano without so much as asking and began playing blues and singing and throwing grins over his shoulder. The sounds lulled Janie to soft slumber, and she woke up with Tea Cake combing her hair and scratching the dandruff from her scalp. It made her more comfortable and drowsy.
"Tea Cake, where you get a comb from to be combing my hair with?"
"I brought it with me. Come prepared to lay my hands on it tonight."
"Why, Tea Cake? What good do combing my hair do you? It's my comfortable, not yourn."
"It's mine, too. I ain't been sleeping so good for more than a week, 'cause I've been wishing so bad to get my hands in your hair. So pretty. It feels just like underneath a dove's wing next to my face."
"You's mighty easy satisfied. I've been had this same hair next to my face ever since I cried the first time, and tain't ever give me no thrill.
I tell you, like you told me, you's mighty hard to satisfy. I bet them lips don't satisfy you neither."
"That's right, Tea Cake. They's there. And I make use of them whenever it's necessary, but nothing special to me."
"I bet you don't ever go to the looking glass and enjoy your eyes yourself. You let other folks get all the enjoyment out of them without taking in any of it yourself."
"No, I never gazes at them in the looking glass. If anybody else gets any pleasure out of them, I ain't been told about it.
See that? You got the world in a jug and make out you don't know it. But I'm glad to be the one to tell you.
I guess you done told plenty of women all about it."
"I'm the Apostle Paul to the Gentiles. I tells them, and then again, I shows them."
"I thought so."
She yawned and made to get up from the sofa.
"You done got me so sleepy with your head scratching, I can hardly make it to the bed."
She stood up at once, collecting her hair. He sat still.
"No, you ain't sleepy, Miss Janie. You just want me to go. You figure I'm a rounder and a pimp, and you done wasted too much time talking with me."
"Why, Tea Cake? Whatever put that notion in your head?
The way you looked at me when I said what I did. Your face scared me so bad till my whiskers drawed up.
I ain't got no business being mad at nothing you do and say. You got it all wrong. I ain't mad at all."
"I know it, and that's what puts the shamery on me. You's just disgusted with me. Your face just left here and went off somewhere else. No, you ain't mad with me. I'd be glad if you was, 'cause then I might do something to please you. But like it is, my likes and dislikes ought not to make no difference with you, T.K. That's for your lady friend. I'm just a sometime friend of yourn.
Janie walked towards the stairway slowly, and T.K. sat where he was, as if he had frozen to his seat in fear that once he got up, he'd never get back in it again. He swallowed hard and looked at her walk away.
I didn't aim to let on to you about it, leastways not right away. But I'd rather be shot with tacks than for you to act with me like you is right now. You got me in the go-long.
At the Newell post, Janie whirled around, and for the space of a thought, she was lit up like a transfiguration. Her next thought brought her crashing down. He's just saying anything for the time being, feeling he's got me so I'll believe him. The next thought buried her under tons of cold futility. He's trading on being younger than me, getting ready to laugh at me for old fool. But, oh, what wouldn't I give to be 12 years younger so I could believe him?
Oh, T.K., you just say that tonight because the fish and cornbread taste is sort of good. Tomorrow, your mind would change.
No, it wouldn't either. I know better.
Anyhow, from what you told me when we was back there in the kitchen, I'm nearly 12 years older than you.
I done thought all about that and tried to struggle against it, but don't do me no good. The thought of my youngness don't satisfy me like your presence do.
It makes a whole heap of difference with most folks, Tea Cake.
Things like that got a whole lot to do with convenience, but it ain't got nothing to do with love.
Well, I'd love to find out what you think after sunup tomorrow. This just your night thought.
You got your ideas and I got mine. I got a dollar that said you's wrong. But I reckon you don't bet money neither.
I never have done it so far. But as the old folks always say, I'm born, but I ain't dead. No telling what I'm liable to do yet.
He got up suddenly and took his hat. Good night, Miss Janie. Looks like we done run our conversation from grassroots to pine trees. Goodbye. He almost ran out the door.
Janie hung over the Newell post thinking so long that she all but went to sleep there. However, before she went to bed, she took a good look at her mouth, eyes, and hair. All next day in the house and store, she thought resisting thoughts about Tea Cake. She even ridiculed him in her mind and was a little ashamed of the association. But every hour or two, the battle had to be fought all over again. She couldn't make him look just like any other man to her. He looked like the love thoughts of women. He could be a bee to a blossom, a pear tree blossom in the spring. He seemed to be crushing scent out of the world with his footsteps, crushing aromatic herbs with every step he took. Spices hung about him. He was a glance from God. So he didn't come that night, and she laid in bed and pretended to think scornfully of him.
Bet he's living with some woman or another and taking me for a fool. Glad I caught myself in time.
She tried to console herself that way. The next morning, she awoke hearing a knocking on the front door and found Tea Cake there.
Hello, Miss Janie. I hope I woke you up.
You sure did, Tea Cake. Come in and rest your hat. What you doing out so soon this morning?
Thought I'd try to get here soon enough to tell you my daytime thoughts. I see you needs to know my daytime feelings. I can't sense you into it at night.
You crazy thing. Is that what you come here for at daybreak?
Sure is. You needs telling and showing, and that's what I'm doing.
I picked some strawberries, too, I figured you might like. Tea cake, I declare, I don't know what to make out of you. You so crazy. You better let me fix you some breakfast. Ain't got time. I got a job of work. Got to be back in Orlando at 8 o'clock. See you later, tell you straighter. He bolted down the walk and was gone. But that night, when she left the store, he was stretched out in the hammock on the porch with his hat over his face, pretending to sleep. She called him. He pretended not to hear. He snored louder. She went to the hammock to shake him, and he seized and pulled her in with him. After a while, she let him adjust her in his arms and laid there for a while. Tea cake, I don't know about you, but I'm hungry. Come on, let's eat some supper. They went inside, and their laughter rang out first from the kitchen and all over the house. Janie awoke next morning by feeling Tea Cake almost kissing her breath away, holding her and caressing her as if he feared she might escape his grasp and fly away. Then he must dress hurriedly and get to his job on time. He wouldn't let her get him any breakfast at all. He wanted her to get her rest. He made her stay where she was. In her heart, she wanted to get his breakfast for him. But she stayed in bed long after he was gone. So much had been breathed out by the pores that Tea Cake still was there. She could feel him and almost see him bucking around the room in the upper air. After a long time of passive happiness, she got up and opened the window and let Tea Cake leap forth and mount to the sky on a wind. That was the beginning of things. In the cool of the afternoon, the fiend from hell, specially sent to lovers, arrived at Janie's ear. Doubt. All the fears that circumstance could provide and the heart feel attacked her on every side. This was a new sensation for her, but no less excruciating. If only Tea Cake would make her certain. He did not return that night, nor the next, and so she plunged into the abyss and descended to the ninth darkness where light has never been. But the fourth day after, he came in the afternoon, driving a battered car, jumped out like a deer and made the gesture of tying it to a post on the store porch, ready with his grin. She adored him and hated him at the same time. How could he make her suffer so and then come grinning like that with that darling way he had? He pinched her arm as he walked inside the door. "Brought me something to haul you off in," he told her with that secret chuckle. "Get your hat if you're going to wear one. We got to go buy groceries."
"I sells groceries right here in this store, Tea Cake, if you don't happen to know."
She tried to look cold, but she was smiling in spite of herself.
"Not the kind we want for the occasion. You sells groceries for ordinary people. We's going to buy for you. The big Sunday school picnic is tomorrow. I bet you done forgot it. And we got to be there with a swell basket and ourselves."
"I don't know about that, Tea Cake. Tell you what you do. Go on down to the house and wait for me. Be there in a minute." As soon as she thought it looked right, she slipped out of the back and joined Tea Cake. No need of fooling herself. Maybe he was just being polite.
"Tea Cake, you sure you want me to go to this picnic with you?"
"Me scrambled around to get the money to take you. Been working like a dog for 2 whole weeks, and she come asking me if I want her to go. Putting myself to a whole heap of trouble to get this car so you can go over to the Winter Park or Orlando to buy the things you might need. And this woman sat there and asked me if I want her to go."
"Don't get mad, Tea Cake. I just didn't want you doing nothing out of politeness. If it's somebody else you'd rather take, it's all right with me."
"No, it ain't all right with you. If it was, you wouldn't be saying that. Have the nerve to say what you mean."
"Well, all right, Tea Cake. I wants to go with you real bad. But, oh, T-Cake, don't make no false pretense with me.
Janie, I hope God may kill me if I'm lying. Nobody else on earth can hold a candle to you, baby. You got the keys to the kingdom.
It was after the picnic that the town began to notice things and got mad. Tea Cake and Mrs. Mayor Starks, all the men that she could get and fooling with somebody like Tea Cake. Another thing, Joe Starks hadn't been dead but 9 months, and here she goes sashaying off to a picnic in pink linen. Done quit attending church like she used to. Gone off to Sanford in a car with Tea Cake and her all dressed in blue. It was a shame. Done took the high heel slippers and a $10 hat. Looking like some young girl, always in blue because Tea Cake told her to wear it. Poor Joe Starks. Bet he turns over in his grave every day. Tea Cake and Janie gone hunting. Tea Cake and Janie gone fishing. Tea Cake and Janie gone to Orlando to the movies. Tea Cake and Janie gone to a dance. Tea Cake making flower beds in Janie's yard and seeding the garden for her, chopping down that tree she never did like by the dining room window. All those signs of possession. Tea Cake in a borrowed car teaching Janie to drive. Tea Cake and Janie playing checkers, playing coon can, playing Florida flip on the store porch all afternoon as if nobody else was there. Day after day and week after week. Phoebe, Sam Watson said one night as he got into bed, I believe your buddy is all tied up with that Tea Cake sure enough. Didn't believe it at first. Oh, she don't mean nothing by it. I think she sort of stuck on that undertake up at Sanford. If somebody, 'cause she looks mighty good these days, new dresses and a hair combed a different way nearly every day, you got to have something to comb hair over. When you see a woman doing so much raking in her head, she's combing at some man or another. Course, she can do as she please, but that's a good chance she got up at Sanford. The man's wife died and he got a lovely place to take her to, already furnished. Better than the house Joe left her. You better sense her into things, then, because TK can't do nothing but help her spend what she got. I reckon that's what he's after, throwing away what Joe Starks worked hard to get together.
That's the way it looks. Still and all, she's her own woman. She ought to know by now what she wants to do.
The men's was talking about it in the Grove today and giving her and TK both the devil. They figure he's spending on her now in order to make her spend on him later. Oh, they got it all figured out. Maybe it ain't as bad as they say, but they talk it and make it sound real bad on her part.
That's jealousy and malice. Some of them very men's wants to do what they claim they scared Tea Cake is doing.
The pastor claimed Tea Cake don't allow her to come to church only once in a while because he want that change to buy gas with, just dragging the woman away from church. But anyhow, she's your bosom friend, so you better go see about her. Drop a little hint here and there, and if Tea Cake is trying to rob her, she can see and know. I likes the woman, and I sure would hate to see her come up like Miss Tyler.
Oh, my God, no. Reckon I better step over there tomorrow and have some chat with Janie. She just ain't thinking what she's doing, that's all.
The next morning, Phoebe picked her way over to Janie's house like a hen to a neighbor's garden, stopped and talked a little with everyone she met, turned aside momentarily to pause at a porch or two, going straight by walking crooked. So her firm intention looked like an accident, and she didn't have to give her opinion to folks along the way.
Janie acted glad to see her, and after a while, Phoebe broached her with,
"Janie, everybody's talking about how that tea cake is dragging you around to places you ain't used to. Baseball games and hunting and fishing. He don't know you's used to a more high-time crowd than that. You always did class off."
"Jody classed me off. I didn't. No, Phoebe, TK ain't dragging me off nowhere I don't want to go. I always did want to get around a whole heap, but Jody wouldn't allow me to. When I wasn't in the store, he wanted me to just sit with folded hands and sit there. And I'd sit there with the walls creeping up on me and squeezing all the life out of me. Phoebe, these educated women got a heap of things to sit down and consider. Somebody done told them what to sit down for.
Nobody ain't told poor me, so sitting still worries me. I wants to utilize myself all over.
But Janie, tea cake, while she ain't no jailbird, he ain't got a dime to cry. Ain't you scared he's just after your money, him being younger than you?
He ain't ever asked the first penny from me yet. And if he loved property, he ain't no different from all the rest of us. All these old men that's sitting around me is after the same thing. There's three more with the women in town. How come they don't break the neck after them? 'Cause they ain't got nothing, that's why.
Folks seen you out in colors, and they think you ain't paying the right amount of respect to your dead husband.
I ain't grieving, so why do I have to mourn? T-Cake loved me in blue, so I wears it. Jody ain't never in his life pick out no color for me. The world picked out black and white for mourning. Joe didn't. So I wasn't wearing it for him. I was wearing it for the rest of y'all. But anyhow, watch yourself, Janie, and don't be took advantage of. Now, you know how these young men is with older women. Most of the time, they's after what they can get. Then they's gone like a turkey through the comb.
TK don't talk that way. He's aiming to make himself permanent with me. We done made up our mind to marry.
Janie, you're your own woman, and I hope you know what you're doing. I sure hope you ain't like a possum. The older you get, the less sense you got. I'd feel a whole heap better about you if you was marrying that man up there in Sanford. He got something to put alongside what you got, and that make it more better. He's endurable.
Still and all, I'd rather be with Tea Cake.
Well, if your mind is already made up, ain't nothing nobody can do, but you's taking an awful chance.
No more than I took before, and no more than anybody else takes when they gets married. It always changes folks, and sometimes it brings out dirt and meanness that even the person didn't know they had in them themselves.
You know that.
Maybe Tea Cake might turn out like that. Maybe not. Anyhow, I'm ready and willing to try him.
Well, when you aim to step off?
That we don't know. The store has got to be sold, and then we's going off somewhere to get married.
How come you're selling out the store?
'Cause Tea Cake ain't no Jody Starks, and if he tried to be, it would be a complete flummox. But the minute I marries him, everybody's going to be making comparisons. So us is going off somewhere and start all over in Tea Cake's way. This ain't no business proposition and no race after property and titles. This is a love game. I done lived Grandma's way. Now I means to live mine.
What you mean by that, Janie?
She was born in slavery time when folks, that is black folks, didn't sit down any time they felt like it. So sitting on porches like the white madam looked like a mighty fine thing to her. That's what she wanted for me. Don't care what it costs. Get up on her high chair and sit there. She didn't have time to think what to do after you got up on the stool or do nothing. The object was to get there. So I got up on the high stool like she told me. But Phoebe, I done nearly languished to death up there. I felt like the world was crying extra, and I ain't read the common news yet.
Maybe so, Cheney. Still and all, I'd love to experience it for just 1 year. Looked like heaven to me from where I'm at.
I reckon so.
But anyhow, Janie, you be careful about this selling out and going off with strange men. Look what happened to Annie Tyler. Took what little she had and went off to Tampa with that boy they call Hooflung. It's something to think about.
It sure is. Still, I ain't Miss Tyler, and TK ain't no Hooflung. And he ain't no stranger to me. We's just as good as mad already. But I ain't put it in the street. I'm telling you.
I just like a chicken. Chicken drink water, but he don't pee-pee.
Oh, I know you don't talk. We ain't shame-faced. We just ain't ready to make no big kaflamakas yet.
You doing right not to talk it. But, Janie, you's taking a mighty big chance.
Tain't so big a chance as it seem like, Phoebe. I'm older than TK, yes, but he done showed me where it's the thought that makes the difference in ages. If people think the same, they can make it all right. So in the beginning, new thoughts had to be thought and new words said. After I got used to that, we gets along just fine. He done taught me the maiden language all over.
Wait till you see the new blue satin Tea Cake done picked out for me to stand up with him in. High heel slippers, necklace, earrings, everything he wants to see me in. Some of these mornings, and it won't be long, you're going to wake up calling me and I'll be gone.
Jacksonville. Tea Cake's letter had said Jacksonville. He had worked in the railroad shops up there before, and his old boss had promised him a job come next payday. No need for Janie to wait any longer. Wear the new blue dress because he meant to marry her right from the train. Hurry up and come because he was about to turn into pure sugar thinking about her. Come on, baby. Papa Tea Cake never could be mad with you. Janie's train left too early in the day for the town to witness much, but the few who saw her leave bore plenty witness. They had to give it to her. She sure looked good, but she had no business to do it. It was hard to love a woman that always made you feel so wishful. The train beat on itself and danced on the shiny steel rails mile after mile. Every now and then, the engineer would play on his whistle for the people in the towns he passed by. And the train shuffled onto Jacksonville and to a whole lot of things she wanted to see and to know. And there was Tea Cake in the big old station in a new blue suit and straw hat, hauling her off to a preacher's house first thing. Then right onto the room he had been sleeping in for 2 weeks all by himself, waiting for her to come. And such another hugging and kissing and carrying on you never saw. It made her so glad she was scared of herself. They stayed at home and rested that night, but the next night they went to a show, and after that they rode around on the trolley cars and sort of looked things over for themselves. Tea Cake was spending and doing out of his own pocket, so Janie never told him about the $200 she had pinned inside her shirt next to her skin. Phoebe had insisted that she bring it along and keep it secret, just to be on the safe side. She had $10 over her fare in a pocketbook. Let Tea Cake think that was all she had. Things might not turn out like she thought. Every minute since she had stepped off the train, she had been laughing at Phoebe's advice. She meant to tell Tea Cake the joke sometime when she was sure she wouldn't hurt his feelings. So it came around that she had been married a week and sent Phoebe a card with a picture on it. That morning, Tea Cake got up earlier than Janie did. She felt sleepy and told him to get some fish to fry for breakfast. By the time he had gone and come back, she would have finished her nap out. He told her he would, and she turned over and went back to sleep. She woke up, and Tea Cake still wasn't there, and the clock said it was getting late. So she got up and washed her face and hands. Perhaps he was down in the kitchen, fixing around to let her sleep. Janie went down, and the landlady made her drink some coffee with her because she said her husband was dead and it was bad to be having your morning coffee by yourself.
Your husband going to work this morning, Miss Woods? I seen him go out a good while ago. Me and you can be company for one another, can't us?
Oh, yes, indeed, Miss Samuels. You puts me in the mind of my friend back in Edenville.
Yeah, he was nice and friendly, just like her.
Therefore, Janie drank her coffee and sankled on back to her room without asking her landlady anything. Tea Cake must be hunting all over the city for that fish. She kept that thought in front of her in order not to think too much. When she heard the 12 o'clock whistle, she decided to get up and dress. That was when she found out her $200 was gone. There was the little cloth purse with a safety pin on the chair beneath her clothes, and the money just wasn't nowhere in the room. She knew from the beginning that the money wasn't any place she knew of if it wasn't in that little pocketbook pinned to her pink silk vest. But the exercise of searching the room kept her busy, and that was good for her to keep moving, even though she wasn't doing anything but turning around in her tracks. But don't care how firm your determination is, you can't keep turning around in one place like a horse grinding sugar cane. So Janie took to sitting over the room, sit and look. The room inside looked like a mouth of an alligator, gaped wide open to swallow something down. Outside the window, Jacksonville looked like it needed a fence around it to keep it from running out on Ether's bosom. It was too big to be warm, let alone to need somebody like her. All day and night, she worried time like a bone. Way late in the morning, the thought of Annie Tyler and Hooflung came to pay her a visit. Annie Tyler, who at 52 had been left a widow with a good home and insurance money. Mrs. Tyler, with her dyed hair newly straightened and her uncomfortable new false teeth, her leathery skin blotchy with powder, and her giggle. Her love affairs with boys in their late teens or early 20s, for all of whom she spent her money on suits of clothes, shoes, watches, and things like that, and how they all left her as soon as their wants were satisfied. Then when a ready cash was gone, had come Hooflung to denounce his predecessor as a scoundrel and took up around the house himself. It was he who persuaded her to sell her house and come to Tampa with him. The town had seen her limp off. The undersized, high-heeled slippers were punishing her tired feet that looked like bunions all over. Her body squeezed and crowded into a tight corset that shoved her middle up under her chin. But she had gone off laughing and sure as Janie had been. Then 2 weeks later, the porter and conductor of the northbound local had helped her off the train at Maitland. Hair all gray and black and bluish and reddish in streaks. All the capers that cheap dye could cut were showing in her hair. Those slippers bent and griped, just like her work-worn feet. The corset gone, and the shaking old woman hanging all over herself. Everything that you could see was hanging. Her chin hung from her ears and rippled down her neck like drapes. Her hanging bosom and stomach and buttocks and legs that draped down over her ankles. She groaned, but never giggled. She was broken, and her pride was gone, So she told those who asked what had happened. Hu Flung had taken her to a shabby room in a shabby house in a shabby street and promised to marry her next day. They stayed in the room 2 whole days when she woke up to find Hu Flung and her money gone. She got up to stir around and see if she could find him and found herself too worn out to do much. All she found out was that she was too old a vessel for new wine. The next day, hunger had driven her out to shift. She had stood on the streets and smiled and smiled and then smiled and begged and then just begged. After a week of world bruising, a young man from home had come along and seen her. She couldn't tell him how it was. She just told him she got off the train and somebody had stolen her purse. Naturally, he had believed her and taken her home with him to give her time to rest up a day or two. Then he had bought her a ticket for home. They put her to bed and sent for her married daughter from up around Ocala to come see about her. The daughter came as soon as she could and took Annie Tyler away to die in peace. She had waited all her life for something, and it had killed her when it found her. The thing made itself into pictures and hung around Janie's bedside all night long. Anyhow, she wasn't going back to Eatonville to be laughed at and pitied. She had $10 in her pocket and $1,200 in the bank. But, oh, God, don't let Tea Cake be off somewhere hurt and I not know nothing about it. And, God, please, sir, don't let him love nobody else but me. Maybe I'm as a fool, Lord, like to say. But, Lord, I've been so lonesome. And I've been waiting, Jesus. I done waited a long time. Janie dozed off to sleep, but she woke up in time to see the sun sending up spies ahead of him to mark out the road through the dark. He peeped over the door sill of the world and made a little foolishness with Red, but pretty soon he laid all that aside and went about his business dressed all in white. But it was always going to be dark to Janie if Tea Cake didn't soon come back. She got out of the bed, but a chair couldn't hold her. She dwindled down on the floor with her head in a rocking chair. After a while, there was somebody playing a guitar outside her door. Played right smart while. It sounded lovely, too. But it was sad to hear it feeling blue, like Janie was. Then whoever it was started to singing, "Ring the bells of mercy, call the sinner man home." Her heart all but smothered her. "Tea Cake, is that you?" "You know so well as me, Janie. How come you don't open the door?" But he never waited. He walked on in with a guitar and a grin. Guitar hanging around his neck with a red silk cord and a grin hanging from his ears. "Don't need to ask me where I've been all this time, 'cause it's my all dead job to tell you."
"Tea Cake, I..."
"Good Lord, Janie, what you doing sitting on the floor?" He took her head in his hands and eased himself into the chair. She still didn't say anything. He sat stroking her head and looking down into her face. "I'll see what it is. You doubted me about the money. Thought I had done, took it and gone. I don't blame you, but it wasn't like you think. The girl baby ain't born and her mama is dead that can get me to spend our money on her. I told you before that you got the keys to the kingdom. You can depend on that.
Still and all, you went off and left me all day and all night.
'Twasn't 'cause I wanted to stay off like that, and the show Lord wasn't no woman. If you didn't have the power to hold me and hold me tight, I wouldn't be calling you Miss Woods. I met plenty of women before I knowed you to talk to,
You's the onlyest woman in the world I ever even mentioned getting married to. You being older don't make no difference. Don't never consider that no more. If I ever gets to messing around another woman, it won't be on account of her age. It'll be because she got me in the same way you got me, so I can't help myself. He sat down on the floor beside her and kissed and playfully turned up the corner of her mouth until she smiled. "Look here, folks," he announced to an imaginary audience. "Sister Woods is about to quit her husband." Janie laughed at that and let herself lean on him. Then she announced to the same audience, "Miss Woods got herself a new little boy rooster, and he's been off somewhere and won't tell her." "First thing, though, us got to eat together, Janie. Then we can talk."
"One thing, I won't send you out after no fish."
He pinched her in the side and ignored what she said.
"'Tain't no need of neither one of us working this morning. Call Miss Samuels and let her fix whatever you want."
"Tea cake, if you don't hurry up and tell me, I'll take and beat your head flat as a dime."
Tea cake stuck out till he had some breakfast. Then he talked and acted out the story. He spied the money while he was tying his tie. He took it up and looked at it out of curiosity and put it in his pocket to count it while he was out to find some fish to fry. When he found out how much it was, he was excited and felt like letting folks know who he was. Before he found the fish market, he met a fella he used to work with at the roundhouse. One word brought on another one, and pretty soon he made up his mind to spend some of it. He never had had his hand on so much money before in his life, so he made up his mind to see how it felt to be a millionaire. They went on out to Callahan, round the railroad shops, and he decided to give a big chicken and macaroni supper that night, free to all. He bought up the stuff, and he found somebody to pick the guitar so they all could dance some. So they sent a message all around for people to come. And come they did. A big table loaded down with fried chicken and biscuits and a washtub full of macaroni with plenty of cheese in it. When the fella began to pick the box, the people began to come from east, west, north, and Australia. And he stood in the door and paid all the ugly women $2 not to come in. One big Marani-colored woman was so ugly till it was worth $5 for her not to come in, so he gave it to her. They had a big time till one man come in who thought he was bad. He tried to pull and haul over all the chickens and pick out the livers and gizzards to eat. Nobody else couldn't pacify him, so they called Tea Cake to come see if he could stop him. So Tea Cake walked up and asked him, "Say, what's the matter with you nohow?" "I don't want nobody handing me nothing, especially don't issue me no rations. I always chooses my rations." He kept right on plowing through the pile of chicken, so TK got mad. "You got more nerve than a brass monkey. Tell me, what post office did you ever pee in, I craves to know?"
"What you mean by that now?" the fella asked.
"I mean this. It takes just as much nerve to cut caper like that in a United States government post office as it do to come pulling and hauling over any chicken I'll pay for. Hit the ground. Damn if I ain't gonna try you this night."
So they all went outside to see if Tea Cake could handle the boogaboo. Tea Cake knocked out two of his teeth, so that man went on off from there. Then two men tried to pick a fight with one another, so Tea Cake said they had to kiss and make up. They didn't want to do it. They'd rather go to jail. But everybody else liked the idea, so they made them do it. Afterwards, both of them spit and gagged and wiped their mouths with the back of their hand. One went outside and chewed a little grass like a sick dog, he said, to keep it from killing him. Then everybody began to holler at the music because the man couldn't play but three pieces. So Tea Cake took the guitar and played himself. He was glad of the chance because he hadn't had his hand on a box since he put his in the pawn shop to get some money to hire a car for Janie soon after he met her. He missed his music. So that put him in the notion he ought to have one. He bought the guitar on the spot and paid $15 cash. It was really worth $65 any day. Just before day, the party wore out.
So Tea Cake hurried on back to his new wife. He had done found out how rich people feel, and he had a fine guitar and $12 left in his pocket, and all he needed now was a great big old hug and kiss from Janie.
You must have thought your wife was powerful ugly. Them ugly women that you paid $2 not to come in could get to the door. You never even allowed me to get that close, she pouted.
Janie, I would have give Jacksonville with Tampa for a jump back for you to be there with me. I started to come get you 2-3 times.
Well, how come you didn't come get me?
Janie, would you have come if I did?
Sure I would. I likes fun just as good as you do.
Janie, I wanted to mighty much, but I was scared. Too scared I might lose you.
Why?
Them wasn't no high muckety mucks. Them was railroad hands and the women folks. You ain't used to folks like that, and I was scared you might get all mad and quit me for taking you amongst them. But I wanted you with me just the same. Before I got married, I made up my mind not to let you see no commonness in me. When I get mad habits on, I'd go off and keep it out of your sight. It ain't my notion to drag you down with me.
Look here, Tea Cake. If you ever go off from me and have a good time like that and then come back here telling me how nice I is, I expects to kid you dead, you hear me?
So you aims to partake with everything, huh?
Yeah, Tea Cake. Don't care what it is.
That's all I wants to know. From now on, use my wife and my woman and everything else in the world I needs.
I hope so.
And, honey, don't you worry about your little old $200. It's big payday this coming Saturday at the railroad yards. I'm going to take this $12 in my pocket and win it all back and more.
How?
Honey, since you loose me and give me privilege to tell you all about myself, I tell you, you done married one of the best gamblers God ever made. Cards or dice, either one. I can take a shoestring and win a tan yard. Wish you could see me rolling. But this time, it's going to be nothing but tough men talking all kinds of talk, so it ain't no place for you to be. But it won't be long before you see me. All the rest of the week, Tea Cake was busy practicing up on his dice. He would flip them on the bare floor, on the rug, and on the bed. He'd squat and throw, sit in a chair and throw, and stand and throw. It was very exciting to Janie, who had never touched dice in her life. Then he'd take his deck of cards and shuffle and cut, and deal out. Then examine each hand carefully and do it again. So Saturday came. He went out and bought a new switchblade knife and 2 decks of Starback playing cards that morning and left Janie around noon. They'll start to paying off pretty soon now. I wants to get in the game whilst the big money's in it. I ain't for no spudding today, or I'll come back on a stretcher. He cut 9 hairs out of the mole of her head for luck and went off happy. Janie waited till midnight without worrying. But after that, she began to be afraid. So she got up and sat around, scared and miserable, thinking and fearing all sorts of dangers. Wondering at herself, as she had many times this week, that she was not shocked at Tea Cake's gambling. It was part of him, so it was all right. She rather found herself angry at imaginary people who might try to criticize. Let the old hypocrites learn to mind their own business and leave other folks alone. Tea Cake wasn't doing a bit more harm trying to win himself a little money than they was always doing with their lying tongues. Tea Cake had more good nature under his toenails than they had in their so-called Christian hearts. She better not hear none of them old backbiters talking about her husband. Please, Jesus, don't let them nasty niggas hurt her, boy. If they do, Master Jesus, grant her a good gun and a chance to shoot them. Tea Cake had a knife, it was true, but that was only to protect himself. God knows Tea Cake wouldn't harm a fly. Daylight was creeping around the cracks of the world when Janie heard a feeble rap on the door.
She sprang to the door and flung it wide. Tea Cake was out there, looking like he was asleep standing up. In some strange way, it was frightening. Janie caught his arm to arouse him, and he stumbled into the room and fell.
Tea Cake! You child! What's the matter, honey?
They cut me, that's all. Don't cry. Get me out of this coat quick as you can.
He told her he wasn't cut but twice, but she had to have him naked so she could look him all over and fix him up to a certain extent. He told her not to call a doctor unless he got much worse. It was mostly loss of blood, anyhow.
I won the money, just like I told you. Around midnight, I had your $200 and was ready to quit, even though it was a heap more money in the game, but they wanted a chance to win it back, so I sat back down to play some more. I knowed old Double Ugly was about broke and wanted to fight about it, so I sat back down to give him his chance to get back his money and then to give him a quick trip to hell if he tried to pull that razor I glimpsed in his pocket. Honey, no up-to-date man don't fool with no razor. The man with his switchblade, we be done cut you to death while you fooling with a razor. But Double Ugly brags he's too fast with it to get hurt. But I knowed better. So, around about 4 o'clock, I done cleaned them out, complete. All except 2 men that got up and left while they had money for groceries and 1 man that was lucky. Then I rose to bid them goodbye again. None of them didn't like it, but they all realized it was fair. I had done give them a fair chance, all but Double Ugly. He claimed I switched the dice. I shoved the money down deep in my pocket and picked up my hat and coat with my left hand and kept my right hand on my knife. I didn't care what he said, long as he didn't try to do nothing. I got my hat on and 1 arm in my coat as I got to the door. Right there, he jumped at me as I turned to see the door step outside and cut me twice in the back. Baby, I run my other arm in my coat sleeve and grabbed that nigga by his necktie before he could bat his eye, and then I was all over him just like gravy over rice. He lost his razor trying to get loose from me. He was hollering for me to turn him loose. But, baby, I turned him every way but loose. I left him on the doorstep and got here to you the quickest way I could. I know I ain't cut too deep because he was too scared to run up on me close enough. Sort of pulled the flesh together with sticking plaster. I'll be all right in a day or so. Janie was painting on iodine and crying. You ain't the one to be crying, Janie. It's his old lady ought to do that. You done give me luck. Look in my left-hand pants pocket and see what your daddy brought you. When I tell you I'm going to bring it, I don't lie. They counted it together. $322. It was almost like Tea Cake had held up the paymaster. He made her take the 200 and put it back in a secret place. Then Janie told him about the other money she had in the bank. Put that 200 back with the rest, Janie. My dice. I don't need no assistant to help me feed my woman. From now on, you're going to eat whatever my money can buy you and wear the same. When I ain't got nothing, you don't get nothing. That's all right with me. He was getting drowsy, but he pinched her leg playfully because he was glad she took things the way he wanted her to. Listen, Mama, as soon as I get over this little cut and scrape, we gonna do something crazy.
What's that?
We going on the muck.
What's the muck? Where is it at?
Oh, down in the Everglades round Clewiston and Belle Glade where they raise all that cane and string beans and tomatoes. Folks don't do nothing out there but make money and fun and foolishness. They must go there. He drifted off into sleep, and Janie looked down on him and felt a self-crushing love.
so her soul crawled out from its hiding place.